We continue our learning. We are in Yevamos, Perek Dalid, Mishnah Gimel. Now, by way of introduction, we have to introduce the concept of the ksuva. Ksuva is the document that's given as financial arrangement, an insurance policy the husband gives the wife. And the basic ksuva is 100 zuz for an almana and 200 zuz for a besula. But the husband can add on, Tosefes can have, add on as much as he likes to the ksuba. Now, there's also different types of nechasim possessions that the woman can bring into the marriage. One is known as nechse melug. Nechse melug are possessions she brings into the marriage. Could be furniture, could be land, could be really anything. They are not written down in the ksuba at all. And the keren, the principal, remains the woman's. The peros, the produce, can be eaten by the man if it's a piece of land. He's able to eat the fruit. If it's an animal, he's able to use the milk of the animal, or whatever it may be that the animal produces. He can use the animal and work the animal. But the keren, the principal, belongs to her. The husband does not have the right to sell that. And what happens is, upon divorce or if the husband passes away, so then she receives that keren, that principal, whatever it may be. And in fact, the husband is not responsible for whether it appreciates or depreciates. Whatever is left of that principal belongs to her after when he gives her the ksuva upon if they get divorced, or if he passes away, if she gets the ksuva from the yorshim. There, the other type of nechasim born into the marriage are what we call nechse tzon barzel. Nechse tzon barzel, literally iron cheap. It's iron cheap in the sense that it has stability for the woman. It's insurance for the woman, because this is written in the ksuba, and the husband now has the right to use not only the produce, the principal belongs to him as well, but he also is obligated to ensure that the woman is going to get that exact price. So if it depreciates, he is responsible to ensure that upon divorce or if he is deceased, when she gets the ksuva, the nechse tzon basel remains the value, whatever it was when it was brought into the marriage. So this is a dowry that's brought in by the wife. It's placed, it's written in the ksuva. The husband therefore takes responsibility for that. We have that written in our ksuvos. We assume that all of the finances that a wife brings into a marriage in our ksuvos in Chutz Laaretz are equivalent to 100 mea zukukim kesef, certain amount of silver coins called zukukim. This is an additional to, in addition to the regular, the basic suba of the 200 zuz, this is 100 zukukim kesef. And the husband matches it by adding on his own 100 zukukim kesef tzarf. That's why we say sach hakol, that whole thing equals 200 zukukim kesef tzarf, and that he has to pay her. And if any of those items that the woman brought into the marriage would depreciate, that's the husband's responsibility. That's nechse tzon barzel, iron cheap. It's strong as iron. So the Mishnah here is going to discuss the case of a Yavam and a Yavama. What do we do with the Nechasim? There's a deceased brother. How do we deal with the Ksuba? So the Mishnah here says like this, Perek Dal and Mishnah Gimel, Shomeris Yavam. You have a woman who is waiting for Yibam. And according to one opinion, at least in the Gemara, we'll learn the Mishnah this way. The husband, let's say Reuven passed away, and Shimo now is supposed to perform, he's the Yavam, supposed to perform Yibam on the Yavama, on Leah, let's say. And he's already, according to one opinion, at least on the Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes, he's already done Mamar. So he's begun that Kiddushin Derabbanan for Yibam, but the actual Biyah, the actual Yibam, has yet to be performed. And what happened to this Shomeris Yavam, who's waiting for the full Yibam to take effect? Sheneflu la Nechasim. And what happened was, Nechasim, there were possessions. There was property or metaltal, an immovable property that fell to her, Birusha, from her father's house while she's a Shomeris Yavam. So who has the right to these nechasim? Modin Beis Shammai Uveis Hillel. They both agree. We'll see where they do argue, but they do both agree. Shemocheres v'nosenes v'kayim. That this woman, the Shomeres Yavim, has the right to sell them or give them a gift. And her maaseha kayami means that it takes complete effect. They are completely hers. At this point, she's only a Shomeris Yavam, and therefore the husband has no Yavam, has no right to it, and she has every right to do whatever she likes with these Nechasim that fell to her as she was a Shomeris Yavam. But Mesa, let's say she dies. Now, the full Yibam was never performed. So she's still connected a little bit to his mamar, let's say, with the new husband, but she's still connected now if she passes away. So she's not completely married to this Yavam, and her husband passed away. So what happens here? Mesa, if she dies as a Shomeris Yavam waiting for full Yibum, Ma Yasu Biksuvasa. What do we do with the Ksuba? So we have the basic Ksuba, let's say if she was a Basula, it's 200 zuz and 200 dinar, and there's a nichsei tzon barzel is also written in the ksuba. So those possessions as well, the dowry is also written in the ksuba. Who does that go to? So, and then the Mishnah says, and what else do you do? That's called the ksuba, because in the ksuba you have the basic ksuba and the nichsei tzon barzel, which are written in the ksuba. And then the Mishnah wants to know, and what do you do with what we call the nichsei malug, which she brings into the marriage, and the husband is allowed to eat the peros, to use the produce, but he doesn't own the keren. But that's something that's called nichnasim v'yotzinima, because she comes in and she takes it out, whatever it looks like now, and the husband doesn't have to at all, doesn't take achrayis responsibility if it depreciates. So who is going to inherit of the nechasim of a shomeris yavam who dies? That's the basic question of the Mishnah. So beisham ayomrim yachloku yorshe habal im yorshe ha'av. This is what we do. The yorshe habal, the inheritors of the baal of the husband, we are referring to the yavam himself, the man who performed the mamar, who was about to perform yivam. That's what the Gemara assumes is what yorshe habal is, the inheritors of the baal. The baal was the original husband, Reuven. So Yorshe Habal is going to be Shimon, is going to be the Yavam himself. So the Yavam is going to split the Nechasim with the Yorshe Ha'av, with the inheritors of the father, meaning of this woman's father. Why? Because we understand like this. The Yavama has the status of like a Suffolk Nesua. She's partially there of a Yibam, but only partially. So it's like it's doubtful whether she's in a Nesua that Yibam was completely took effect. So the Yavam, who is considered the Yorshe Habal, so he is going to be privileged to have, he's going to inherit half the Yerusha because of this Suffolk, because a Baal is Yoresh Ishto, that's usually what happens, and he's partially a Baal, but the other, of course, is going to be inherited by Yorshe Ha'av, the Yorshim of her father. After all, we're not sure whether the Mamar gave the Yavam the privilege to these properties as if he had married her. And of course, if that would be the case, he would get all of the properties. I mean, Mamar doesn't give him that privilege at all, and therefore he should go to her father's family, to her family, her father's house. So Beishamai is not sure, and therefore, what's the halacha? So the Yavam and the father of the Yavam are going to divide it. However, Ubei Silal Omrim, Nechasim b'cheskasa. What happens is Hillel here is going to answer both of the questions: what should be done with the ksuba and the nichsei tzon barzel, and what should be done with the nichsei maluk. So he says like this: Nechasim b'cheskasa, the nichsei tzon barzel, that should be in the chazaka of both of the yorshim, the Yorshe Ha'av, her family, her father, because the Nechasim belong to her, as we know. Nechasei Tzon Barzel were brought into the marriage, and she's supposed to get that from the Ksuva, but also in the hands of the Yavam as well. Why? Because the Achrayis Nechasim, the responsibility of those Nechasim, were on the husband, and therefore therefore they should belong partially to the Yavam. So by Nechasei Tzon Barzel, says Beis Hillel, they go to split. So Beishamai says everything is split. Beis Hillel says not everything is split. Nichsei Tzon Barzel is split between the father and the Yavam, because the Yavam should get part of it because it's Nichsei Tzon Barzel was really his brother's and now his responsibility to ensure that she's going to get that money. But since it's a Suffolk as well, so the father as well is going to get partial. And Ksuva, what about the Ksuva money that our husband Reuven, the deceased husband, wrote, the classic 200 zuz for a basula or 100 for almana, becheskas yorshe habal, that's going to go straight to the yavam. That's not split. That is the Yavams, because that has to do with the husband. And therefore, the husband is the same way the husband would be Yoresh here. And here, although it's only a partial marriage, nonetheless, Beis Hillel is of the opinion that that is going to go to the Yavam. Nichasim ha-nichnasim v'yotzinima, but the nichse malog v'cheskas yorsha'af. That's going to go to her father's house, because these nichasim are really in her rishus. The Baal's not chayiv b'achray, is to responsible for nichse malog. As we know, the Karen belongs to the woman. So the way we understand is like this. The wife is obviously the owner of the Nichsei Maluk. The only question is whether this Mamar that the Yavam did, made right, was has the power now to make him, the Yavam, like someone who should be able to inherit her. As his brother, as Reuven, was able to do when he was married to her. Beis Hillel says no. He says, Mamar, it definitely does not have the power to give the Yavam any relationship of marriage for the purposes of getting any of the Nichsei Maluk. So therefore, the Yavam is not her heir at all, and the Nichsei Maluk goes completely to her family. Beis Shammai obviously was not sure about that, and therefore they felt that even the Nichsei Maluk would be nechassim that should be split. So to review, according to Beis Shammai, what do we do with the ksuba, with the money? Beis Shammai says, everything is split. You split between the Yosher HaBaal, which is the Yavam, and the Yosher Av, which is the woman's family. This is, again, after the woman died, the Shomeris Yavam only having Mamar. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion, no, that Nichsei Tzon Barzel, that belongs to that is split. The Ksuba, which is the 200 Zuz, that goes to the Yavam, and the Yosher HaBaal, the Yavam, and the Nichsei Malug goes to her family. The only thing it has split is the Nichsei Tzon Barzel. And others understand Beis Hillel, that Beis Hillel is not, when Beis Hillel says Nechasin Bechezkasan, they were not saying that that's a reference to Nichsei Tzon Barzel. Nechasin Bechezkasan is a general statement, which is an introduction to what the Mishnah says afterwards. Nechasim b'cheskasim is not referring to Nichsei Tzon Barzel. It means that all the possessions are dealt with how? Depending on who is the muchzak, who's the one who really has hold on those nechasim. And therefore, the Mishnah then explains what that means. Ksuva, which are all of the obligations, the ksuva, which is the money that the Baal writes to her, which is both the Nichsei Tzon Barzel that's brought into the marriage and written in the ksuva, in the Nedunya, and that is, of course, is the Ksuva, the 200 Zuz as well. So that is all Becheskas Yorshe HaBaal. That goes to the Yavam, because he's considered the Muchzak in that. And the Nechasim HaNechnasim HaYotzim Imah, the Nichsei Malug, that is the Becheske Yorshe HaAv, that goes to the wife. So according to this, even the ksuva goes to the Yavam, but the Nichsei Tzon Barzel, according to this interpretation, according to Beis Hillel, the Nichsei Tzon Barzel is not split. The Nichsei Tzon Barzel goes to the Yavam as well. Only the Nichsei Malug is what goes to the wife's family. Now it's important to note that let's say we have a regular marriage. So in a regular marriage, a man doesn't have the rights to his wife's property between Kiddushin and Nisuin before you complete the marriage. And this is similar to our case over here. However, the Mishnah, because we have Mamar, but not Yibam, but that's with respect to the rights that he has to his wife's property. But what about inheriting? So the Mishnah Ksuvos in the beginning of the 8th Perek has a machlokas regarding a woman who inherits property during the time between Kiddushin and Nisuin. And the halacha is, and this is discussed in Ksuvos, that, and this is not a case of Yibam, this is just general after Kiddushin, before Nisuin. What's the story if the wife inherits property? Beis Shammai holds that she's allowed to sell it. It's completely hers. She's not a nesua yet. She's not married or living with her husband yet. Kiddushin doesn't affect anything regarding her inheritance, and therefore she gets to do whatever she likes with it. And Beis Hillel says, no, she shouldn't sell it. Why? Because the husband expects to get the privileges to that after nesuin. our Mishnah, which happens to be in Maseches Ktuvos in Periches Mishnah Vav, also teaches us that Beishama Beisil will agree regarding the Yavama, that a Yavama selling property she inherits after the husband passes away, but before the Yavama it marries her. So we know that everyone agrees, even Beisil will agree that she can sell it, because this is not the same as Kiddushin. This is nothing really. Even the Mamar is not considered anything significant. We're now in Perek Dalid, Mishnah Dalid. Knasa. So now, what about after the Yavam married the Yavama? They actually have Yibum. Harei Kiishta Lechaldara. So now they're considered a husband and wife regarding all issues. For example, if he wants to free her now, Chalitz is not going to work. He gives her a get. Not only that, he can even take her back as a wife, as long as she hasn't remarried, as we know. You're allowed to take your wife, your grusha, back. That's even true here. The Isra of Eishes Ach has been released, has been removed. That does not resurface after he divorces her. The pasuk says, "Lukachalo leisha," and that teaches us, "Kevan shelakcha harehi keishto." They are considered husband and wife. Uvelvad, except for the following. In what way is she not keishto? Sheteiksu vasa al nichse bala harishon. So, meaning the way it works is when it comes to the ksuva, she's keishto that in this only regarding all of these halachos, except that the ksuva is not the ksuva of the nechasim of the new husband, but rather the nechasim of her husband who had passed away. The responsibility of the ksuva, if the yavam, let's say, would die and divorce her, is all based on the property of the first husband, not the property of the second husband. So, and that's true because when a person performs yibam with this almana, he inherits all of his brother's property, and the yavama doesn't collect the ksuba that the first husband had promised her and written in the ksuba until the marriage, let's say, to the yavam is over. So her rights to that ksuva are only from the properties that were left by her husband who passed away, which are now owned, of course, by the new husband. If the first husband didn't have any property, the yavam has an obligation, though, then to give her a ksuba.